Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, I'm very, very happy to be with you all on this four-part series leading up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine appearance. You will see, as we are going through the tattva and the leelas and certain bhajans of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will for sure come into our hearts. We will for sure have a very good relationship, a personal relationship to him. And then when his actual date of appearance comes, the Gopunim, we will be able to receive him in a well-prepared heart. Most probably, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya in the temple of the heart or in the innermost core of the heart is the most valuable gift in this human form of life. Because, as we will see in this series, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's role in our life is so absolutely significant to bring us to our next step and ultimately into the spiritual world. So I would like to start this series today with a prayer. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Shatarine Deyam Sada Paribhava Gnamabhishta Doham Tirtaspadam Shiva Virinchi Nutam Sharanyam Brityatihang Pranatapala Pavaptipotam Vande Mahapurushate Charanadavindam. The last text is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we will soon hear in its English translation. But before, I want to ask you a question. How do you actually know anything about the spiritual world? Our eyes have difficulty to look into the spiritual world. Rarely do we hear something from the spiritual world. How can you ever know anything really about the spiritual world? I mean, not belief. Belief is easy. You can believe many things, but we are speaking of knowing. It's a good question, no? My dear listeners, you can only know about the spiritual world when you hear from devotees and you taste and experience the reality from the lips of the devotees. Let me give you an example. Imagine you come next to a pond where there are very good-sized lotus flowers inside. And imagine further you wish to taste that special honey called lotus honey. Could you go directly to the lotus flowers? Would you have the ability to extract honey from there? No. Someone who wants to have the taste of lotus honey will have to go to a beehive just next to that pond with the lotus flowers and go to the bees where he will take the honey and taste it. Then you know, oh, this is the taste of lotus honey. You cannot go directly to the lotus flower to get the taste of lotus honey. In much the same way it is when we approach a transcendental personality like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or for that matter any transcendental subject that is beyond our senses, we have to go to the bee-like devotees who know the art of extracting the deep taste and give you thus and experience. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam which says, the rati rasa means the taste of a relationship with Krishna can be had only by serving and hearing from devotees. This I wanted to say in the beginning. So as we are now approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to approach him through his devotees. And then we get the taste of the honey of his lotus feet. And then you know, when you taste that ecstatic love or ecstatic appreciation, ah, that is Gauranga. You don't just believe, but you have made the taste. I would like to go today through the writing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and hopefully give all of you a taste of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a very nice song called Emana Durmati Sangsara Bhitare Padiya Aichino Ami. Here he says that, listen, I have a wonderful message which I have heard from a great soul. He says, Tomara Tarite Sri Krishna Chaitanya Navadvipa Avatara Tomahina Kata Dinahina Jane Karilena Bhavaparam. Listen, Sri Krishna Chaitanya has descended in Navadvip to deliver you. He has safely conducted many humble and fallen souls like you across the ocean of material existence. So he says, listen, there's an avatar which has tremendous potency to bring souls across the material miseries. Now an avatar has to be confirmed by scripture. And there is a wonderful scriptural quote which introduces us to the tattva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to who he is. There we find in the Ananta Sanghita how Brahma, the creator of the world, is a little bit worried. He says, what will happen to my creation in the age of Kali, where there is such a materialistic influence everywhere? So deciding that the only capable person to answer this question is Lord Vishnu himself, the maintainer of the creation, Brahma goes with folded hands to Lord Vishnu. He goes to the ocean of milk and he asks, and he prays the prayers, and he then gets a direct audience of Vishnu. And he asks him, O Jagat Guru, Mahavishnu, please tell me, how will religion be maintained in the age of Kali? And who will be able to maintain the path of Dharma in this very troublesome time? And then the Lord replies to him. He says, listen, Brahma, and listen to everyone on this call. Listen to Yogaranga, Yashoda Dulal, Gokuma, and Venkatabhata. These are the four whom I see at the moment. I personally will descend in the age of Kali in the womb of one very saintly lady called Sachi in Navadvip. And I will take all my own associates with me. This is a great secret, however, which is not revealed to the materialists. I will be an avatar as a bhakta, as a devotee, and I will bestow a bhakti on everyone who comes in contact with me. Those materialists are deluded by Maya, and they will not be able to understand. Only sadhus or devotees who are devoted to me will know me in truth. And he continues like this. It's a very nice quotation from the Ananta Samhita, where the Lord says, I will personally come in the age of Kali, in the land of Navadvip, in the womb of Mother Sachi, and then I will distribute the most rare bhakti to everyone. And he, in the song, he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what I will do is, I will bring people to the Bhavapara, to the shore of the ocean of birth and death. Consider material life like an endless, wide expanding ocean. America is a little dust, a grain of dust in this ocean. Our whole universe is a speck of dust in this ocean. And to cross this huge material world, which inflicts upon us the troubles of birth and death and old age and disease, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invokes the image of a boat. I will become a boat which helps people to cross the ocean of material existence. Someone who is at the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not have to worry. The Lord himself will guide us over the difficult to navigate complexities of this world. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the bee who will bring us the lotus honey of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, continues. He says, Vedera patigya rakibara tare rukmavana viprasuta Mahaprabhu name Nadia Mataya Sangebai Avaduta. How nice our culture is. We give knowledge in form of singing. This is very heart elevating. So this is what he says. To fulfill the prophecies of the Vedas, this Lord has appeared with a golden complexion as the son of a Brahmana. He bears the name Mahaprabhu and has driven all of Nadia mad with prema in the association of his brother Nityananda. So we are studying the tattva of the truth of Gauranga from the bee, Bhaktivinoda, who has gone to the lotus of his feet and distilled for us the essential truth of it. There was a saying, to fulfill the prophecies of the Vedas, he has appeared with a golden form. What are these prophecies of the Vedas? My dear listeners, in preparation to this verse, I have found prophecies from 21 Vedic scriptures which foretell the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I have collected a few here before me, but if I read to them, all of them, you would faint. So therefore, allow me to just take a little statement from the Upanishads, the Mundaka Upanishad, where it says, when any jiva sees the golden Lord Mahaprabhu, they become wise, free from the reactions of all their karma. They become pure and obtain supreme equanimity. We will later show a photo of Lord Chaitanya, and I will guide you to meditate about this, so that in your heart you can see the Lord, and this is an exercise in becoming free from all bad karma and becoming wise. The Lord is also mentioned, for instance, in Mahabharata, where it says, Suvana he varno he mango varangas chandanangadi. His complexion is golden. His limbs appear like molten gold. His beautiful body is adorned with sandalwood paste and flower garlands. He accepts sannyas, etc. There are also many very amazing descriptions about how he is Krishna himself. Anta Krishna, Bahir Gora. He's inside Krishna and outside, has a golden complexion. And the scriptures really extol him in many, many, many ways, so that you can be sure that this is really the Lord. If the devotees say and the scriptures say, you can be sure. Now this golden Lord who came in the age where we are most disadvantaged for spiritual life, has two missions. One is an internal mission, and the other is an external mission. I will ask Venkata Bhatta to now project the slide number one for all of you. This external mission was that the Lord wanted to spread the holy name all around to every conditioned soul. His reason was that because Krishna is identical with the holy name, when one can chant the holy name, one will meet Krishna. So he would sing this beautiful song with holy names of Krishna. I will sing it one time for you, and then we will all sing together. You can already look at the beautiful photo of Lord Chaitanya. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govindaram Shri Madhusudan. Please sing. Haraye Makama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopagovinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. You can see Mahaprabhu, his arms spread out, encouraging all of us to sing the names of Krishna as he walks by the river Ganga and goes to the house of Srivas Thakur, where he sings. And please, let us sing again.
Haraye Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan.
Everybody,
Haraye Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan.
And then
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you so much. Please leave the slide. In this form of spreading the chanting of the holy name, he's known as Gaura Singha, the golden lion. Or another name is Gaurahari. He's known or compared with a lion for five particular reasons. First, he has a golden complexion, just like a lion. Then he has a slim body, but a broad chest. Then he has a long hair, just like the lion, with a mane. Then the Lord appeared in the Singha Rasi, that is an astrological zodiac sign of Leo, of the lion. And finally, his chanting woke the conditioned souls up. It was such a powerful vibration that anyone who heard the chanting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced two things. The gloominess of material consciousness, the dark clouds of material consciousness left, and love, genuine love, entered the heart. Venkata, please now with your magical wand remove this slide and put me. Yes, thank you. You are a true magician, Venkatabhata Prabhu. Yes, his chanting was not ordinary chanting. Rupa Goswami speaks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, Hari Sundara Duty. Sada Hridaya Kandare Spurato Va Sachinandana. He says, this incarnation is special. I wish that he may appear in the cave of your heart, and by his loud and ecstatic chanting of the holy name, drive away the elephants of sin. Imagine this imagery. There's a huge cave. Here in Europe, we have caves which are as big as the Notre Dame, means huge churches. And sometimes in India, in such big caves, the elephants take shelter. Now imagine a lion comes into the cave and does his roaring. If the internet wouldn't be so limited, I would roar now for you. But maybe internet would fall into pieces when they hear a loud roaring of even someone who attempts to roar like a lion. But when a lion really roars, even the powerful elephants will flee, especially if these elephants are in a cave and the lion enters the cave and does his roaring there. It's so loud and so intense. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a lion-like chanting of the holy name, would have that intensity that everyone who would hear it would experience, that even the gravest bad habits, the most severe sinful reactions, who were as big as huge elephants, would run. Therefore, Rupa Goswami speaks this blessing. Sadar Hridaya Kandare. Hridaya means heart, and Kandari means the innermost chamber or the cave of the heart. Spurata, may there be an appearance of the son of Mother Sachi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the great blessings of coming in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But, my dear devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had also an internal reason to appear. And perhaps when we study this internal reason, it will be most easy for you to understand the truth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Going back to this internal reason, we will have to go back to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. There in the spiritual world is a unique atmosphere. Krishna is the only center of everyone's full attention. In Vrindavan, everyone is Krishna's devotee and totally fixed on him. With their eyes, they want to see Krishna. With their ears, they want to hear Krishna speak or hear his astounding flute play. With their sense of smell, they want to smell Krishna's fragrance, which is that of a lotus flower and a little musk smeared on it. With their touch, they would like to touch Lord Krishna in the various relationships as sakas. They want to wrestle with Krishna. The parents want to embrace Krishna. Gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, want to all experience Krishna completely with the taste of, the sense of touch. Everyone in a way is like ghostly haunted. With this I would like to express, to the exclusion of every other thought, people, the residents of Vrindavan, are focused on Krishna. We can hear that, we can learn about this when Gop Kumar enters the spiritual world and enters Vrindavan and sees the people. They do physically the things they do, like cleaning, but they are totally absent-minded, and as if their mind is with someone else. The whole town of Vrindavan is only able to think of Krishna while they wait for Krishna. In the morning, Krishna leaves with his cowherd friends the village of Vrindavan and leaves a village, all the residents of Vrindavan. They extend by far the numbers which can fit in a village. It's uncountable numbers of residents. He goes to the out into the forest to herd the cows. Then in the evening, Krishna returns. And my dear audience, everyone is there just watching to the direction of where Krishna will come. They then see, first of all, a big cloud of dust. It is raised by the hoofs of the cows. Then they see different devatas coming down to touch that dust. Then as they strain to hear, they hear laughter and the playing of flute, but no, it was the air rustling into coming into some bamboo forest, and the bamboo made a sound as if it is Krishna's flute sound. But yes, then they can hear soft strains of flute melody, and they totally fall in love. Some of the residents of Vrindavan had fainted during the day in Krishna's absence, and they need to be carried on stretchers to the town's gate. And then finally there's a bluish light flashing over the horizon. It emanates from one bluish boy who's there, Lord Krishna, and it fills everyone with great happiness. Now amongst them is one devotee, Krishna's highest devotee. It's Srimati Radharani. In Krishna's absence, she had said, "Oh, my dear companions, I do not know whether it is day or night, whether it is morning and whether it is evening. My heart so much hankers for the return of Krishna that my memory, what is right and what is wrong, what is day and what is night, has totally left me." And this devotee, Srimati Radharani, is so absolutely, focused on Krishna that her cries in separation from Krishna make stones break. Then when she sees Krishna, she's helped up from her bedstead. I mean, when Krishna returns, she's helped up from her bedstead. And when Krishna sees Srimati Radharani, he becomes speechless. Krishna at that time develops a desire to know why Radha is so absolutely attached to him. He wants to know, what is the nature of your love? How can you be so attached to me that in my absence you are fainting? And he also wants to know something else. What exactly do you so much appreciate in me? And finally he wants to know, when I reciprocate your love, what kind of happiness do you exactly feel? My dear audience, have you ever loved? And have you ever been loved? Perhaps you have asked yourself, when there was maybe a child who loved you so dearly, what exactly is that love like? And what does this little child find so fascinating in me? I mean, I think I'm an ordinary person, but the child sees something in me. And then you might have asked, if I show my attention to this child, what exactly is the happiness the child feels? It is these three questions which puzzled the mind of God that brought him to make this appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to find out. Once he was sitting with Radha, and he took Radha's hand in his hand and said, "Radha, I can't understand your love. I think I would have to change roles. I would have to become a devotee of myself. I would have to become a worshipper of myself, and then experience that love which my devotees feel." Radha said, "I think the love would be too heavy for you to bear. You would swoon and faint." But when she saw that Krishna was determined to go into the role of a devotee and understand love of Godhead, then she said, "Okay, so when you swoon and when you fall on the ground, I will cover yourself with my effulgence so that when you fall, you will not bruise your body." My dear listeners, what we hear here is something which has to do with extraordinary love. And it is this extraordinary love which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to taste. He is Krishna. Inside he is Krishna, Anta Krishna, and Bahi Gorai. Outside he is the golden form. He is Krishna who is covered with the effulgence of Radha and who is now in the mindset of Radha, who is in the mindset of a devotee of Krishna. And he wants to both taste that love of Krishna and teach it. Srila Prabhupada used to speak about this aspect. He said, when a teacher sees that his students are a little slow in learning, he himself will act like a student and write A, B, C on the blackboard, thus showing what the students should learn or what they should know, really. So here, God himself takes on the role of a bhakta, of a devotee, to teach all of us, do it like this, do it like this. This is how you do it. This is how you know me. This is how you come in contact with me. This is the speciality of Gauranga in Avatar. I will now have to ask Gokrishna, my assistant, to just go there and get the little book When Good Fortune Arises. Because, my dear devotees, my dear friends, if you want to know the secret of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, then you have to know the secret of crying in love. We already know to cry when our body is hurt. Oh, at the dentist we may cry. Oh. We know when our mind is hurt and our feelings are hurt, and we cry because we are misunderstood. But do you know the crying of the soul? This is something which we have to learn from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He used to say, Ayinanda tanuyakinkaram patitang mam vishame bhavam buddho kripayata vapara pankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintayam. I am your servant, Krishna. But somehow or other, I have fallen into this ocean of neshines. Please pick me up. Shower your mercy and make me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. We should always be praying, Krishna, please help me. Chanting Hare Krishna means that the soul is crying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O Krishna Shakti Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. I am fallen. Do you know how to get Krishna? Huh? Dayaguranga, do you know how to get Krishna? Yashoda Dulal, Gokuma, Bhakti Center, and Venkata Vata Prabhu. What is the price to go back into the land of love, to go back into the land of ecstasy, to go back into the land of ecstatic, full-bloomed relationships? The price is crying. And this is something which Krishna wanted to learn in this avatar. That is his internal reason. He wanted to learn the art of love by feeling like Radharani, his topmost devotees. I have something which I wanted to read to you. It is from His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj. He speaks about what is called Atma Krandan, that deepest inner urge, the urge of the soul who cannot feel satisfaction in this world by knowing it's not the place of satisfaction. Crying and crying, the soul is crying, uttering this Harinam. If you chant in this way, then you will get Krishna's mercy miraculously, unexpectedly. Nothing is impossible for Krishna. It is impossible for us, but Krishna wants that. The only lacking is with us. I like this. You know, when we hear about the Gauranga avatar, we can definitely hear about many scriptural quotes. We can hear that which is worshipped by the impersonalists, the Brahman, the huge energy and the divine effulgence, is the effulgence of his body. That ultimate realization of the yogis who wish to see the Lord in the heart, that is one aspect of his being. We can hear many of these wonderful verses, and I want to direct you to Chaitanya Charitamrita, where you will find them. But I also feel we need to understand the mood. What did he come to teach? What did he wish to bring to our attention? He wanted to bring to our attention the crying of the soul for the Lord. There will be a time in all of your lives where you understand that your various strategies, your various tactics to become happy in this world do not serve you to reach this goal. At that time, you will go deep. You will go from the cry, from the feeling dissatisfaction in the physical body to the dissatisfaction of the mind. And then you will see something very sweet, the yearning of the soul. The tears of the souls are not miserable. The tears of the souls are not to be feared by us. The crying of the soul is very sweet. These tears are not salty tears. They are the sweet tears of love. And as we will see in the ongoing sessions, we will see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did in this mission, twofold mission, to bring love of God to all the souls of this world, and to at the same time become relish the deepest ecstasy of love. I want to now ask our magical computer expert to put the image of Mahaprabhu, without verse, just the image. Yes, thank you very much. Maybe you can make it a little, yes, bigger. Thank you very much. I want to now guide you into a little Gaura Lila meditation, or contemplation, you could say, not Lila, Gaura meditation. I want you to please sit straight in your chair or on your floor and look at this image of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have heard in this lecture so far that he is a prophesied avatar who has appeared according to the foretelling of the Vedic scriptures. And we have heard that he has come to guide souls to the other side of the ocean of birth and death. We have heard also that he is Krishna, who gave up his flute. He is Krishna, who gave up his tilak and took to a tilak of a bhakta. We heard that he is Krishna, who gave up his threefold bended form to become straight. He gave up his peacock feather to be there as a bhakta. Look at the beautiful image of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Focus to a few deep breaths. And only look at the photo of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When you're ready, close your eyes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of love. He has a beautiful effulgence that lights up the innermost chamber of the heart. His eyes are constantly filled with streams of love, and he sings the holy name. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare.
Thank you very, very much. There is one last thing which we want to do today, one experience-oriented thing. I will request our computer magician to put on the last slide. You remember Brahma came in the outside and the outset of our discussion to Vishnu. He was clearly worried. What will be the state of the world? And here the Lord said, I will personally appear in the world. And at that time, I will be known by the following names. And then he gave a list of names, which you find at your computer screen at the moment. And he said, anyone who chants these names will develop devotion unto me. So I will say these names and I request you to chant them after me. Krishna Chaitanya Gauranga, Krishna Chaitanya Gauranga, Gaura Chandra Gaura Hari, Gaura Chandra Gaura Hari, Sachi Suta Prabhu Gaura, Sachi Suta Prabhu Gaura, Namami Bhakti Dani Me, Namami Bhakti Dani Me. I will be known as Krishna Chaitanya, as Gauranga, as Gaura Chandra, as Sachisuta, as Mahaprabhu, as Gaura and as Gaura Hari. Chanting these names will bring devotion to me. I thank you very, very much. This went very well with the computer and all. I want to now ask you to see if there are any relevant questions which you would like to ask in regards to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think Yashoda Dulal Prabhu, you would be the one who has the questions. Is that true? Yashoda Dulal has fainted in ecstasy. Maybe his good wife can help him to reach his table. Yeah, here you are. Hari Bol, Yashoda Dulal.
Krishna Maharaj, I had a little bit of a computer glitch. So thank you so much for this wonderful meditation on Mahaprabhu. And now, before we get into questions, of which we have a few good ones, I would like to share my screen. And okay, so I am now sharing my screen. I hope everyone can see it. So this is the first of four sessions, Gaurangira Duti Pada. So we're going to have three more sessions after this. The next two sessions are going to be pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And then we are going to have Lord Chaitanya's teachings in song on March 27th, same time every Saturday. This series is organized by the Bhakti Center, and it's co-hosted by many yatras in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and even Virginia region. So you can see their names here. It's kind of New Jersey, Tawako, Central New Jersey, New York, which is the Brooklyn Temple, 26 Second Avenue. It's kind of Bergen, Richmond, Virginia, and then Gitanagri Eco Farm in Pennsylvania. So I have a few questions, and I'll start off with Mukunda Russell. Should we primarily worship Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself or as Krishna's devotee? What is the difference?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have to think of two things. Yes, primarily he is Krishna's devotee who has come to experience what Srimati Radharani, the paradigmical devotee, the highest devotee, wishes to experience. But he is at the same time the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we should be very, very, very careful with him. We should not see him in a loose way. When I will talk in the next session about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, I have decided to pick those pastimes where you see how he performs true miracles. Because for us conditioned souls, it is easy to pull transcendence on our level, and therefore it is good if we are mindful of the absolute amazing shaktis which reside in the Lord. So a healthy balance is good. When you approach Lord Chaitanya, you ask, should we concentrate on him as a devotee or as the Lord? I would like to offer a third possibility in which you can concentrate on him. Think of him as a devotee teacher who has come to give you something extraordinary. If you follow the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you will receive a delightful result that is not possible to be received in other ages. And most probably in the other questions which will come, I will highlight this a little bit more. Yes, this is my answer.
Okay, thank you, Maharaj. So the second question is from Manasi Ganga Devi in New Jersey. And then we have a couple of questions on crying after that. So the question from Manasi Ganga is how to overcome that fear of losing something when one is attempting surrender.
When you attempt to surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or to Krishna, you should know the person to whom you are surrendering. During the Second World War, my father had to surrender to the Red Army, that's the Russian army. They would come out, they would drop their machine guns, the German soldiers, and come out. And they were not treated very nicely. They got one thin soup, and if they were lucky, maybe one slice of dry bread a day. And they were really treated as prisoners of war. in a very bad way. So since that time, we conditioned souls, not since that time, but we conditioned souls are fearing, oh no, if I jump, will the Lord be there to catch me? If I surrender, will he accept me and take care of him? And the fear to lose something or to be disappointed in some ways will only go if you inform yourself again and again about the nature of the Lord, the mind of the Lord, the opulences of the Lord. Prabhupada made this very clear in Mumbai. He said, how will you surrender to Krishna if you don't know him? It's not possible. To know about Krishna, Prabhupada said this in another lecture, is compulsory. I might even find this quote, which is really, really an amazing quote, which he gave, really amazing. Yeah, it is compulsory. You cannot avoid Krishna Katha. If you avoid, then you are putting yourself in a dangerous cycle of birth and death. It is not fiction or whims. It is compulsory. It's imperative. Everyone should become Krishna conscious. If he does not become, then he is risking his very life. So the fear to surrender to Krishna will go only if you know about Krishna. The idea of surrender is frightful. Everything for another and nothing to me, it's frightful for us. But if you know who the another is, who Krishna is, then you will actually feel there's nothing better than to do for me than to surrender to him.
Thank you, Maharaj. So there are three questions now on crying. I'm going to combine maybe two and three. Hemant asks, I have never any experience of meeting with Krishna from time immemorial. So how can I genuinely cry for him when I don't really feel like crying? And Karem asks a similar question, how to cry for Krishna under Maya influence is so difficult. Maya's influence.
Very good question. Please listen now very carefully. It is a very relevant question. I will answer it in a deep way, so you will have to concentrate a little. My dear listeners, there are three ways of living a life. There are thousands, but three categories. One is you focus on your desire on the senses. Then you wish to have money so that you can get a lot of good sensual pleasures, a house in California where it's a little bit warmer than in New York, good food, good movies, good facilities to do everything. That's one level of existence, living the life of the senses. Then there is a deeper level. That is living a life where you can find out what is your purpose, what you could do in this life, what defines you as a person. Look at the two devotees here from the Bhakti Center, Dayal Gauranga and Yashoda Dulal. They do this not to get money for sense gratification. They don't get money for it. They do it because they feel this is our purpose in the Bhakti Center, to give spiritual nourishment to the community. Someone who works on that second level does not care so much about money. He does. We all need a little to eat our chapatis, but on the second level, The primary focus is to live a life of purpose, or the Svadharma. Yes? Now going a little bit deeper, there's a third level, and that's the level where you care only about one thing, that is growth, transformation, purification of the heart. Now check yourself, whoever asked the question, and you will see, sometimes you are on the level of the senses, you want to just have good food, sleep maybe nicely, and other such things, have nice experiences in the world, where you make nice walks, nice sceneries. Sometimes you're on the level of the of your purpose. No, my life is meant for something. And sometimes you say, okay, I have enough of everything. I don't care now for everything. I only want to grow. I only want my transformation. I only want to develop Krishna consciousness and purity in the heart. Now, a person who is on the level of the senses cannot fathom or imagine how a person could ever desire something regarding to his purpose. He can also not imagine, if he is engaged in full sense gratification, how someone can think only about his spiritual growth. It doesn't make sense to him to do this. This is the same thing. This holds true also when you think about crying for Krishna. When you are on the level of the senses, living a normal life with sensual perceptions, or when you just think, what is my purpose? I know a devotee from our Pandava Sena who understood, my purpose is to distribute wisdom, and he became famous as Mr. Jai Shetty. Perhaps you have heard, you can find him on the internet. He's one influencer, because this idea of finding his purpose and living in his purpose was so strong. He focused everything on that and did austerities to reach that. And then you find also people who went to Vrindavan, devotees who just sit there and chant 64 rounds, because for them this crying of the soul, the desire of the soul, has become so much in the foreground. You will cry for Krishna, my dear devotee, my dear doubter, my dear skeptic, when you change your level of existence, when you come to the level of the soul, when you start thinking, no, there's birth and death, where can I find shelter? And everyone has this. When my father had come back from the Second World War, and after some years he had a family, and then I was born, he said to me one day, son, I entered the war as an atheist, and I came out as a believer. And then he told me that he had seen that when for the soldiers the reality was torn into shreds, you know, I'm speaking of bomb explosions, when they lost their cameras, then they came to the deepest level and said, please, my Lord, save us, save us, save us, save us. They have a saying, im Schützengraben gibt es keinen Atheisten. It's good to learn a little German, you know, little, not much. In the war ditch, please, is it Dayaguranga? Is what?
The war trenches.
In the war trenches. Thank you, Yashoda Dulal. In the war trenches, there is no atheist. The same holds true, by the way, for the scientific exploration of this world. It said, when you drink a little from the cup of science, just a little, You are an atheist when you understand science, explore the world a little bit. But when you empty the cup of science, you are becoming a believer. You understand there's the Lord behind everything. Why can we not cry for Krishna? Because we are shedding our tears for everything else. And if you want to learn to cry for Krishna, I recommend you go into a 24-hour kirtan, sit there, don't remove yourself, not even if your mobile telephone has an interesting WhatsApp message, and stay. And at the end, at the bottom, you will come to the level of the soul, where you will urgently request him. My dear devotees, I confess to you that I'm also not always in the mood of this urgency for Krishna. As a preacher, I see, there's so many interesting things. Can you imagine, we just a week ago, we got a huge donation for one of our projects, and oh, now we can do this. And so I'm also occupied. But I try to make one point. When I sit down to chant my japa, now I follow the process of Mahaprabhu and just focus on Krishna and call out for him and longing. And as I do this, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the consciousness gets deeper and deeper and comes to the level of the soul. And the soul has this natural appetite and natural desire to cry out for Krishna. It's natural, it's inborn, it's inherent, it's dormant, it's already there. It doesn't have to be created by an imagination. You have to only go deep enough to discover it. Only go through the various covers which are covering the level of the soul, and then it's there, it jumps into your face.
Thank you, Maharaj. So a couple of questions, they have a similar strand to them. One is from Divyanam Prabhu in Virginia and his yatra. And the other one is from Janavi Harrison, Janavi Jivana Devi. Both are about crying out of sentiment versus crying deeply because our soul is crying out for Krishna. So I will ask the question from Janavi Devi because it's more than just that. Sometimes we've heard that we should assume that tears in bhakti may be immature or sentimental. For instance, when we are hearing pastimes of Radha and Krishna, because we have not yet developed a depth of devotional feelings yet. So therefore, we should be wary to cry or perhaps try to hold it back, is what we have heard. Is this different when it comes to Lord Chaitanya? Hearing about him is so enlivening, and it brings so many tears of relief and gratitude. So can we simply appreciate this and let our emotions be expressed, whatever the cause may be?
The teachings of Mahaprabhu, as they are expressed in the Shikshastakam in his own words, are to cry for Krishna. This is a very, very important point. You know, when he said, Ayinanda Tanuya, my Lord, I've fallen into the ocean of repeated birth and death. Now please pick me up as and bring me back to your lotus feet, just like a pollen of dust should go back to the lotus flower from where it comes. It's this crying, this urgent request, please save me out of this ocean, it's a cry for Krishna. This is when we hear about the other tears, where sometimes we are not so much encouraged in this direction. It's mixed tears, or it's tears for our own selves, or tears which come from the psychology of the soul. From our needy psyches. But having said this, when you feel genuine spiritual emotions of either relief that, oh, Radha or Krishna, I'm so happy that I can really feel that you love me, overlooking all my other qualities, you pick up my devotional qualities, then yes, this can be expressed. Now, to make sure that they remain in the right way, a devotee usually does not express his tears, outside, to the outside world. I do know, I have seen Prabhupada twice crying ecstatic tears of love of God. And he was clearly overwhelmed. He could not continue to speak. He would sit there in samadhi and the tears would roll down his face. And I do know that he did not do this often because, you know, it's difficult to trust our mind, and our minds are so many, let us say, so many sankskaras, and so many minds are in one mind. So one mind may be genuine, but another mind might say, oh, if they see me crying, they will think I'm very advanced, and this is good for my likes on Facebook, and so on. Therefore, we have to be careful. I would like to give you an analogy, all of you. Something from my own experience. I celebrated a few days ago my 50th birthday. That's 50 years in the service of Srila Prabhupada, and therefore I'm not shy about it, and I'm happy about it because it's a good number. So the devotees had made a little something like a photo album with photos when I first joined and when I came to, and for now, you know, the station, various preaching programs, books, everything was depicted in the photo gallery. And when I saw this, I was so overwhelmed with feelings that I'm such an ordinary person, but Prabhupada picked me up and gave me this life, that these were tears of gratitude. But immediately I could see, my training from Prabhupada is, I will not show this. So I looked in the, I turned around and went to the corner. Most probably everyone could see that the shoulders were moving up and down, but in being very deeply moved. And I do think that is permissible. That is all right. As long as we don't, to be overwhelmed with feeling, and as long as we don't make a show. And we are, and then, yes, cry for Krishna. I do remember there was one Mataji in our, amongst our God brothers and God sisters. Leela Shakti was her name. And she would cry. And obviously, there was crying. She had not rested enough. Then one cries more when one is tired. And so, but Prabhupada would encourage her to cry. Cry for Krishna. That is, if there is one price, it always says, it is this intense yearning. And this is what Lord Chaitanya came to teach us. This intense yearning for Krishna. That is what you will feel when you study his pastimes. He yearns for Krishna. Thank you very much. So, yes, cry, but make sure that it's not mixed with the false type of tears.
Thank you, Maharaj. Do we have time for one more quick question? I know we are a minute or two over.
From my side, yes, if you don't get bored of me.
We'll ask one more question, and then there might be a couple questions that we leave unanswered and perhaps ask in the next session. Alicia Israni asks, Mahaprabhu came to emphasize the sharing of Krishna Bhakti with all living entities. So for us practitioners, is that more important, or for those people who can, going to Vrindavan and purifying themselves and chanting the most they can and developing love for Krishna, is that more important?
Very good question. I think you need to combine both. If you are only engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness, you might come to the symptom of compassion fatigue, where you are tired, you have overextended yourself. If you are only trying to do a bhajan, your bhajan and in Vrindavan, you might feel after some time restless. So I think the combination of both is good on this stage, and I also think it is good on a higher stage, because this balance will help us very much. See, when you only do bhajan, you might get on the side of selfishness. I want to make progress. Therefore, spreading of Krishna consciousness is very good. And I do believe that Prabhupada's example is something where he wanted to teach us regularly. The best is if you have a rich spiritual inner life, then also your giving and sharing of Krishna consciousness is very successful. It's powerful. It reaches heart. It turns heart, and so on. So do both. Be Krishna consciousness at home in America or wherever you are. I do not know where you are. And then share Krishna consciousness. This is a good balance. I will end here. I will give the word to I think that our two transcendental brothers, Yashoda Dulal and Daya Guranga. I wanted to just say one thing in concluding. My dear listeners, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a hidden avatar, a Channa avatar, because he did not wish that the world knows that he is Krishna. He was hiding his Krishna-ness in Bhakta. Therefore, the world does not often know so much about him. To know him and to love him, therefore, requires that we hear more about him. And I would suggest you to make a serious investment in your relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at this time reading about him, hearing lectures on the internet about him, filling your consciousness with him. I think this is a good preparation for his divine appearance day. And then you can be more Gauramayi. Gauramayi means absorbed in your thoughts in Lord Chaitanya. I also wish to invite all of you to participate in this series. I'm not saying this because I'm a person with a personality disorder who needs attention from others. No. at least I'm not aware of this. I'm saying it because the sessions which we will have following this one will really bring you to a deep understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that this most important avatar, the Gaura avatar for our life, will be very close to our hearts. He will come into our heart and he will drive away those things which don't belong there by his mercy, and attract the things which must come there, that is divine love. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So I will give over now the microphone to the two transcendental hosts. I don't know who